Hey, Daniel chapter 10, we are going to cover the whole chapter, so I invite you to put your helmet on and strap your seatbelt in, and we're going to cover this. One of the, you've probably noticed as we've studied this, I've changed a little bit of the style, wanting God's Word to speak for itself, and then my opportunity is to make the application of it. And so I hope that you have your notes there. We're going to fill them in. But we're going to begin with an introduction. So let me begin with that, and then we'll go to the scriptures here. So the title of the message is A Heavenly Visit, or we could actually say Visitors, and a Hellish Foe. You will see them all in Daniel chapter 10. But let's do a review, just to catch you up. Daniel, from chapter 7 through chapter 12, the last half of the book of Daniel, has four heavenly visions. Now, the first heavenly vision was in Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel chapter 7 gave a foresight of those things that were to come, beginning with a lion with eagle's wings, which was representing Nebuchadnezzar, the golden head, you might remember, the image that he saw. Then the bear with three ribs was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then after that comes the leopard. The leopard having four wings and four heads representing Greece. Alexander the Great, when Alexander died at 32 years of age, there were four heads, four generals that rose, divided Greece into four different provinces. The one that really was over the major part of Greece was Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, whom we introduced to you last week. And then finally, in that first vision, was a vision of Rome. But this was of a beast that had 10 horns. Now, we know from the prophecies and we know from the scriptures, the revelation, those 10 horns represented 10 countries or 10 kings. And so after Rome decayed and collapsed, there were 10 different nations that arose from the ashes of Rome. Then we went to Daniel chapter 8. The second vision in Daniel chapter 8 was of a ram with 2 horns, and then there was a male goat that had 1 horn. Now, the ram represents, again, Medo-Persian Empire. We know that when Daniel is writing here in the book, he is having visions that deal with the time that he is now living. He has lived through 5 kings and 2 great empires. Babylon has now been defeated. Medo-Persian Empire has arisen. Cyrus is king. But in the revelation in Daniel chapter 8, there was the vision of an empire that was to come, and that was represented by the he-goat or the male goat, which is Greece. Then thirdly, we looked at this last week, Daniel chapter 9 is the third vision. And you might remember in Daniel chapter 9 how Daniel was praying and he was confessing the sins of Israel, but he was also confessing his own sins. But we shared with you that Daniel's heart was distraught. He was troubled by the things that were occurring around him. Now remember this, that Cyrus, in the first year that he was king, according to Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus had set free all the Jewish people. And yet, when he did so, there were only 2 tribes out of 12 that returned back to the land, and that was Benjamin and Judah. The other 10 tribes remained scattered throughout Babylon. They had no interest in going back, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. I believe that was what was troubling Daniel. Why? After all of this, and the prophecies have come true, and the prophecies of Jeremiah that said 70 years would be accomplished and Israel would be restored to the land. And yet when that time came, God's people were not willing to go. You know why? They were such a part of the world. Can I say to you this morning, I believe that's the problem with most churches in America and most believers. We're such a part of the world that we do not have a longing for heaven. We're such a part of the world that we have no longing for the things of God or time for the Word of God. I pray that's not true of you. But we have to be careful in this culture that we don't become in love with Babylon, Babylon being a type of the world. And then I want to bring you to another thought then that goes with this. I'm actually going to invite you, take your Bible, go back to Daniel chapter 9. I believe some of this is on the PowerPoint, but I did not cover this last week, so I just want to quickly cover 70 weeks. Now, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and God reveals to Daniel a vision of 70 weeks. You follow with me as I'm reading, and it's on the PowerPoint as well. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, there are four periods that I'm going to point out to you. One that is really not a period, but it's a pause, but I'll explain that. Daniel chapter 9, look with me at verse 24. 70 weeks, now a week equaling 7 years. 70 weeks or 490 years are determined upon thy people, speaking to Daniel, so we know that he's talking about the Jews, and upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Now, let me pause there. When I was younger, I would have gone through this and hashing out every little thing about the weeks and the years and all like that. But I feel like time is pressing on me, but time is pressing on us as God's people. And so I'm not going to break it all down. There are plenty of opportunities for you to study this. But let me point out a couple of things, not on your outline. This is free. You don't have to pay for this, all right? The first is this. In this verse here, we see 70 weeks. So God has determined in his vision and revelation to Daniel, 70 weeks, a week equaling 7 years. Therefore, we know that we're talking about 490 years. Now, the second period, you have your Bible, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Daniel 9 and verse 25, we read, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment," what is the commandment? It is the decree of Cyrus, recorded in Ezra chapter 1. He makes a decree in the first year as king of Persia and overseeing all now of Babylon, that the Jewish people are free to go home. Now, let's keep going. Daniel 9, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, the decree of Cyrus, to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, the coming of the Messiah, shall be 7 weeks, during which," and I wrote this in my notes here, "during which Jerusalem will be built." So, 7 weeks equaling 49 years. So, here's the thought. Cyrus makes a decree. The Jews can go back to their homeland. He actually funded rebuilding the temple. But it took the Jewish people 49 years to not only build the temple, but finally to build the city of Jerusalem itself. A lot of troubles, a lot of trials all through that time period. Let me continue to read now. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks." Now I'm going to keep reading. "And 62 weeks. So here's what we have now. We have 69 weeks. What does that mean? From the 7 years to rebuild, which would have been 49 years, 7 weeks to rebuild, 49 years. Then, taking 62 weeks, adding to that, now we've added 434 years. Here's the prophecy to Daniel. The Messiah will come after 69 weeks. 7 weeks to rebuild Jerusalem. 68 weeks, now get that right? Yeah, 68 weeks, 63 weeks, right? 63 weeks to rebuild or for the coming of the Messiah. Did you know, and I will not take the time to do it today, that when Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the celebration, Hosanna to the King, was made, it was in the timeline that we're studying in Daniel chapter 9. When Jesus Christ was hanging, dying on the cross, he was fulfilling not only the prophecies of Isaiah, he was sealing the prophecy of Daniel. God's timeline and the revelation given to Daniel was perfect. But we only have 69 weeks. We're still missing a week. 1 week equals 7 years. Now, what was not seen by the prophets was what I'm going to call the pause, the third period. And that is the church age. We are now living in that time period. Some would call it the age of grace. I think there's always been God's grace throughout time. But we're in that time. Now, there's 7 years unaccounted for up to our reading here. Do you know where those 7 years are found? Where are they? The tribulation period. Now, we're not in that time yet. It looks like we're getting close, though. You have to admit that, right? All right? Now, let me take you a little bit further. Go with me to Daniel 9 and verse 27. Let's look at the prophecy of the sacrifice here. Well, the prophecy really of, well, go back. Daniel 9, verse 26. I apologize up there. Go with me. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, literally put to death. But not for himself, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. All right, so here's what Daniel is seeing. He is foreseeing the coming of a Messiah. He is foreseeing the destruction of Jerusalem again after it has been built. I'm going to keep reading. And the sanctuary, Daniel 9 and 26, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Now, a flood is a time of great turmoil, a time of trouble, a time of destruction. It is a time of war. So the prophecy being revealed to Daniel is that Israel is going home. The Jews are going home. And the city of Jerusalem is going to be built. The tabernacle or the temple is going to be built. But Daniel, there's a time of trouble that is still yet to come. Now, I'm going to take you down to look with me then at the 70th week. Daniel 9 and verse 27. And he, now who is the he? It's the Antichrist in the last 7 years of this world as we know it now. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And so there's always been this anticipation of one that is going to make peace in the Middle East. One that is going to make peace with Israel and with all the other Arab nations around it. And for a season of 3.5 years, Israel will be in peace. Today, Israel's not in peace. But there is a time that all the world is going to be so anxious for all the trouble and all the fighting and all the war to be over that there's going to rise up a man whom we find in the scriptures is the Antichrist. He's going to have the power of persuasion. He's going to have the political charisma. He is going to capture the vision and the heart of the people, all who are going to look to him to rule the world and to perhaps, some would say, maybe he'll be over the United Nations. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to come about, but I know he's going to rise up in Europe, in the midst of where the Roman Empire is. Now let's keep reading. Daniel 9 and verse 27 then. And so this Antichrist should confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, not just with Israel, but with many others. But in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7 year period, at the 3.5 year time, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, the offering to cease. So here's what he does. The temple is going to be rebuilt. During that time of 3.5 years, Israel is at peace. Israel's offering sacrifices in the temple. I personally believe the church is raptured, the church is gone, and this world is going to be turned over to the evil one. The Holy Spirit will only be here with those who come to know Christ as Savior during the tribulation. And you could debate that if you want, but that, I'm not going to spend time on that. Let's finish this up, though. He should cause the sacrifice of the oblation, the offering, to cease. For for the overspreading of abominations, he, the Antichrist, shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Bottom line, let me bottom line it with you. There will be trouble, there will be war until the second coming of Jesus Christ. This world will have a season of where they're looking to a leader, a great leader for peace. And for 3.5 years, it seems that there is peace in the world and Israel is at peace. But then at the middle of the tribulation, he will rise up and he will determine that he will lead an assault against Israel and against the Jewish people themselves. Now I'm going to move on to Daniel 10. I will say this, and a lot of times I hear different believers make comments about Israel and all. Let me say this to you, and I'm moving on. The Israel today is a secular Israel. The Israel today is not a biblical Israel. Now, the people that are there, perhaps, are Jewish in their ancestry. But I can assure you, the majority of them are not Bible believers. Okay? And so that being said, let's move on. You got your Bible. Go with me to Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to want to introduce to you the fourth and the final vision. So we've gone through three visions. We're going to the fourth. Daniel chapter 10 is an introduction to the fourth and the final vision. So all we're going to do today is introduce it, not going to be able to delve into the details of it. But you have your Bible. Let's go. Put your seatbelt on. Let's go through this. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. I want you to notice the setting and the timeline. All right, let's pick it up. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, let me stop there. The first year, Cyrus sets the Jews free, and they go home. They have now been in Israel building the temple for about 3 years. At what point in the 3 years, I don't know. But Daniel has received word of discouragement, of sorrow, of enemies. And so Daniel is beginning to wonder what God's plan is for Israel, because the things are not going as he had hoped they would. Now let's keep reading. Daniel 10 and verse 1. Then in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a matter was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, using his Babylonian name. And the thing was true or trustworthy. But the time appointed was long. So here's the thought. The vision that he has been given is not a vision that is imminent, but is a vision that is far-reaching. We know from Daniel 11, it reaches all the way to the tribulation period. But right now, let's keep reading. Okay, Daniel 10 and verse 1. And so the time of this vision to be fulfilled was long. It was a great way off. He understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So Daniel did not need interpretation. Daniel understood what he was seeing. That brings me to the season of mourning, Daniel's response to the vision, Daniel 2 and verse 1. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning or grieved 3 full weeks. Now, if you remember, last week I closed the sermon by looking at Daniel 10 and him waiting 3 weeks or 21 days for his prayer to be answered. Do you remember that? You can give me the knock, knock. Yes, yes. Okay, very good. Some of you knock, knock. Some of you need to be knocked and awakened. So, but let's keep reading. All right, so Daniel 10 and verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was grieving. I was mourning 3 full weeks. I believe it's because he was looking. Only 2 tribes went back to Israel. 10 tribes were still in Babylon. And he's saying, Lord, I thought you were going to restore Israel, all of God's people, to the land. Why are they here? Why didn't they go? Now let's keep reading. Daniel 10 and verse 3. So Daniel says, as he was mourning and grieving, in verse 3, that I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He is saying this, I ate no delicacies. I did not drink of any wine. I was totally immersed in my sorrow for Israel. And I'm wondering, Lord, what is going to become of your people? Now look with me at Daniel 10, verse 4. So we know this, that Daniel prays for 21 days, 3 weeks. Daniel 10 and verse 4, we read, "And in the 24th day of the first month, being Nisan, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel." Now Hiddekel is an ancient name for the Tigris River. So here's the thought. Nisan is the time period in which the Passover occurs. The Feast of the Tabernacles also occurs during this time. So it was during the time that the Passover should have been celebrated in Israel. It was during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread too, that should have been celebrated. And so that is the time that Daniel is seeking the Lord. He's seeking an answer for the questions that he has. Now, notice with me, and we're going to look at four major points. The first is a heavenly vision. Now, I'm going to invite you to look with me, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4. Daniel 10 and verse 4. Actually, we're going to move on to verse 5. And here's what you see, and this is for your outline. Daniel sees a character, a person appears in his vision. I believe that person was the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Now let's walk through this. Daniel chapter 10, verse 5. Daniel says, as he was praying, far from Babylon now, he's on the Tigris River, that he lifted up his eyes. And he looked, and behold, there suddenly appeared a certain man clothed in linen. Now, linen would be the clothing of a priest. So this is someone that has come, most likely the linen being a white linen, that this individual appears. But this is not an ordinary man. Here's what we read in Daniel 10 and verse 5. "Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins," that is his hips, or we would even say he was girded about with a belt of fine gold. And it says Ufaz, we really don't know where that is, but it apparently was a place where gold was mined. Now on the PowerPoint, look it with me. Daniel 10 and verse 5, Revelation 1 and verse 13. On here is the parallel of what we find in Revelation 1:13. For instance, Daniel 10 and verse 5, a certain man clothed in linen. We come over to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. The Lord himself appears to John, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot. That would have been the length that the priest would be wearing. And then it goes on in Daniel 10 and verse 5 that this individual was girded with fine gold. Look at the end of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. He was girded about the paps, that is the breast or the chest, with a golden girdle. So what we're looking at, Daniel 10 and verse 5, Revelation 1 and verse 13, these two come with a similar appearance. Now I'm going to go to Daniel 10 and verse 6. Verse 6, we read again, "His body," this one that appears to Daniel, "was also like the beryl." Now there's a lot of discrepancies or debate about what beryl is. Most commentators end up landing that it was a crystal-like, a transparent appearance. So I'm going to go with that. I believe that is more fitting for this. So verse 6 again. "His body," this one that appears to Daniel, "was like the beryl," transparent if you would. "His face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, glowed like fire torches, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." Now up on the PowerPoint, here's the contrast or the parallel of that. And so in Revelation 1 in verse 14, we have the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. His eyes were as a flame of fire. The vision in the book of Daniel, his eyes as lamps of fire. And then his feet like unto fine brass. Daniel chapter 10, his feet like in color to polished brass. And then the Revelation 1 again, verse 15, "His voice is the sound of many waters." And once again, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 6, the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now let me share with that for a moment. How many of you have ever been to a stadium where there might have been 30, 40, 50,000 people? Any of you ever had that opportunity? Okay, as you're approaching that stadium and tens of thousands of people are in the stadium, you can't understand the words, but you can hear the roar of the people, right? The sound. That is what Daniel, as he's trying to describe the sound of the voice of God, he describes it like the sound of a voice of many waters. If you've ever been to a great waterfall and the roar of the waters, you understand then the impression that God's voice made on Daniel. It was mighty. It was loud. It was roaring. It was something to be feared. And then again, I'm going to move on with this. So we've looked at the character. I think I've proven to you very much as you look at Daniel, the appearance of this heavenly being. And then you look at Revelation, knowing it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it is the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. But now I want to go to the next point on your outline. Look with me not just at the character, but look at the consequence, if you would, or the effect of the appearance of this heavenly being whom I believe is Christ. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7. Notice the effect on the men that were with Daniel. Daniel 10 and verse 7. And Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Now, who were these men? I have no idea. But remember, Daniel has been second in power, both in Babylon, second in power in Persia. So no doubt there was an entourage that was always with Daniel. Here we find him at the Tigris River. So no doubt he had an entourage of men that were with him. Daniel 10 again now, verse 7. What was the effect on the men? They could not see the vision, but there was a great quaking or a great trembling, and they fell upon them that they fled to hide. So they did not see what Daniel saw, but what they heard was enough to cause them to flee and run away. And then look with me at Daniel 10 and verse 8. And look at the effect on Daniel in verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone, says Daniel. The others have left me. They fled from me and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me. He literally was overcome. And then he goes on and he says, my comeliness, my glory, my majesty, manner in which he would have carried himself as a powerful man of Persia. Suddenly, he was melted to nothing in the presence of this heavenly being. And he goes on and he says, my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. I lost all strength. You know, think about that. If you and I were conscious of how great God is, if we were conscious of the majesty of God, how would we respond? If God gave us this vision of Him, and just the sound of His voice is like this roar of a mighty waters, the appearance glowing, how would we respond? We would be like Daniel. We would be overcome in the presence of God. Then look with me at Daniel 10 and verse 9. His unconscious state, if you would. Yet heard I the voice, the sound, the roar, if you would, of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. Now that first appearance ends on your outline, heavenly visitors. Now let's go to that. Daniel 10 again, verse 10. I want you to notice, first of all, the appearance of an angel. So now we've moved from the Lord. He has appeared in his majesty and his glory. Now we go to the appearance of messengers or angels. Notice then with me, Daniel 10 and verse 10, the ministry. And behold, Daniel says, remember, he's on his face on the ground, he's unconscious, and now we read in Daniel 10 and verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. In other words, he didn't stand up, but he was awakened. And then he comes up crouching on his palms of his hands and on his knees. And then we read this in Daniel 10 and verse 11, the manner of the angel. The angel said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So what does that mean? His knees are knocking. He's overwhelmed by what he is seeing and what he is hearing. Let me give you three things to go with that. I think it might be on your outline. The first is this, an affirmation. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. You know, when I read that this past week, I thought, I wonder what God's opinion is about me. I wonder if God looks at me or does God look at you and he says, that's my child. Greatly beloved. Remember, Daniel's life and his testimony has been spotless. Now, he wasn't a perfect man. But as you read the scriptures, all that we ever see of Daniel's life is this godly man who loves the word, this man who has dedicated his life to serving the Lord. Let me take you forward a little bit then. Daniel chapter 10 then and verse, well, I should give you the appeal and the announcement. So three things, affirmation, greatly beloved. The appeal, understand my words. The announcement, stand up. Why? You're about to hear the word of God, stand. That's why we, here at Hillsdale, when we are reading the scriptures as a congregation, I invite you to stand, not just as an exercise to wake you up, but because we're reading God's word, and it should bring a sense of sanctity to our worship. Now, follow with me the angel's mission. So we've got the ministry, the manner. Look with me at the mission, and we're going to go through this quickly. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten or discipline thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, I preached this a little bit last week. Here's the question, not a trick one. When you pray to God, how long does it take before God hears your prayer? Huh? Immediately. Immediately. Daniel says, it's been 21 days. Where have you been? You ever have one of those where have you been things with the Lord? You're praying and it's like, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And you know, for us, sometimes, Sheila, we waited years for God to answer prayer. You know, for Daniel, he's used to having his prayer answered immediately. If you go back to Daniel chapter 9, he prayed and the angel came. Come to Daniel chapter 10, he prays and he waits 21 days. You know? You kind of wonder, one of the commentators wrote, I wonder if Daniel said, how long does it take to go from heaven to here? You know, I've had those moments, haven't you? You pray and you wait, you pray and you wait. Let's keep reading. Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 3. Here's the insight of that which has happened that Daniel had no knowledge of. Daniel 10 and verse 13, he's waited 21 days, and then we read verse 13, the angel explains, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. So he's given an explanation to Daniel. The reason you've waited 21 days for an answer to your prayer is that there was a spiritual battle. There was a spiritual warfare going on above this earth that you knew nothing about, Daniel. Let's keep reading. Daniel 10 and verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, by the way, Persia is modern day Iran, if you just for your knowledge there. Now, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, 21 days. And then we read, but lo, Michael, the chief prince, the archangel, if you would, Michael came to help the other angel that had been sent on the mission. And he says, and I remained or I tarried there with the kings of Persia. Now, let me give you this insight here. This prince of the kingdom of Persia is not a man. This is a spiritual fallen being. This is a demon. So Persia has a demon of high authority and influence that is assigned to that nation. In fact, you have your Bible there. You can look with me at verse 20. You'll also see that Greece has a demon that will be assigned to it. Daniel 10 and verse 20. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." And so I believe as you look at the scriptures, at least in this instance, assigned to Persia was a supreme demonic being. He is there to carry out the interest of the evil one, the interest of Satan. And so God dispatches from heaven an angel. That angel is coming to the earth, but he is met by this demon. And there is a warfare in heaven for 21 days until Michael the archangel comes. Michael, the chief of the prince, the chief of the angels, he comes to assist that angel so that angel could go on its duty to go to Daniel. Now, you might be asking, Pastor, does every nation have a assigned spiritual demonic high being? And I can't say that it does, but I can say this. Without a doubt, there is in the spiritual realm the evil demonic ones who are opposed to God. They're opposed to God's people. I don't believe his name is Fauci, and I don't believe his name is Biden, okay? But I don't know who he is. But I do know this. As I look at our world, as I look at our nation, I see everywhere the influence of demonic powers and presence. I sometimes look into the eyes of some of our politicians, and I see this dazed look that causes me to be concerned. And I wonder how many are in positions of power that are possessed by demons. I wonder. I can't say. But I can say as I look at the Bible, the devil has an interest in doing everything he can to hinder God's plan. Now, let's keep going. Where are we? Daniel 10, verse 13, then. I'm going to move on. I want you to consider with me then, as we go to Daniel 10 and verse 14, the angel's message. The angel's message. Daniel 10 and verse 14. "Now I am come," says the angel, "to make thee understand," to give you understanding and give you discernment, "what shall befall thy people." Now, get this. Daniel's already had a vision. He's already seeing that things are not going as he thought they would go for Israel. He has now learned that there are 70 weeks that are to transpire. And as a result of that 70 weeks, he is wondering, what is God's plan? What is God doing? So now he is being told, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14, it's not going to be as you thought it would be, Daniel. Daniel 10 then again, verse 14. "Now am I come to make thee understand," to give you understanding, Daniel, "what shall befall thy people," what shall befall the Jews, "in," not the imminent, "but in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." So here's why the angel is coming. "Daniel, I have come to give you an insight, not just into the present day, but Daniel, I have come to give you an insight into the very latter days of humanity." Now look with me then at three thoughts that go with that. I don't know if it's on the outline or not, but one is the subject of the vision. What shall befall the Jews, thy people? The second is the focus, the latter days. And then the third one is verse 15 and 16, and that is the purpose. So why has the angel come? Daniel 10 and verse 15. "And when he had spoken such words unto me," Daniel says, "I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." I literally became overwhelmed with sorrow and the vision of those things that will come, that I was unable to speak. Verse 16, And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Now, this appears to be the second angel that has come. So we began with a heavenly visitor, whom I believe is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Then we had an angel. Now we have another angel that appears in this vision. Daniel 10, verse 16. Behold, one like the similitude or resembling the sons of men. So the angel comes in the appearance of a man. This angel touched my lips, Daniel says, and then I opened my mouth, and Daniel now, and spake, and said unto him, unto the heavenly messenger, the angel that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. So Daniel is saying, I am so overwhelmed with everything that I've seen. I'm so overwhelmed with what is going to happen to Israel, what is going to happen to the Jewish people. I'm so overwhelmed that I can't even speak. I no longer have strength. I no longer can stand because my heart is breaking. Let me say this to you. We're gathered here this morning and we look at our United States. Can I say to you, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to sorrow. But let's pray. Let's pray for these United States. Let's pray that somehow we might as a nation turn back to God. Let's pray that God would give influence to men of God and those who are women in places of influence, that they'll speak the truth. But let's also pray that whether it's a pastor or it's a member, that we're bold in our faith. And we make no apology for our confidence in God. Now let's keep going. Daniel 10, look with me at verse 17. Verse 17, for how can the servant, this lowly servant really, of this my Lord, talk with this my Lord? Lord, how can I even talk to someone as majestic as you? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I am without strength. Verse 18 and 19. Daniel 10 and verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. And he said, oh, man greatly beloved. You know, have you ever gone through a hard time? I mean, difficult time, a discouraging time, a time that you're at your wits' end. And then somebody takes a moment to say, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. I don't know about you, but that means a whole lot in the midst of a trial. That's what you see here. Look again, verse 19. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Wow. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. I love that. Let me say this to you this morning. There's power in your words. Did you know that? There's not just power of the word, but for you as a believer, your words have power. And power to hurt and power to heal. Power to encourage and the power to discourage. Daniel receives now this message from the Lord. Would you notice when we go back to verse 13 as we come near our close? I want you to notice the hellish foes. And I've described this as the angel had battled an evil, powerful foe. So let's make some applications as we close. Daniel 10 and verse 13, the identity of the adversary. I've already discussed it. Let me read it. But the prince, the ruler, the governor of the kingdom of Persia, I've told you, I believe that is a spiritual evil being, withstood me, the angel, 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm going to keep going. Look with me further at the influence of the adversary. And so this demonic being, this prince of Persia, this evil spirit assigned to oversee Persia, was strong enough to withstand an angel. And so Michael comes to deliver that angel to go on its ministry with the message. Now, follow with me, Daniel 10 and verse 14. Now, the angel said, I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thee. Daniel 10 and verse 20, I'm going to jump down there. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Let me put it in another way. Do you know why I'm here? Daniel, you've waited 21 days. There's been 3 weeks. I've told you of the spiritual battle that has been taking place because the demons did not want you to know what God's plan is for his people for the end of days. And then I'm going to draw your attention to two closing verses and then an application. You have your Bible. We're almost at the end. Daniel 10 and verse 21. Why did the angel come? Here we go. Verse 21. I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth, in the writings, the holy writings of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. What is he saying? I am, and we're going to look at this next week, I am going to give you a span of human history. Not only that which has been, that which is, but I'm going to give you an insight, a revelation of that which is to come, leading right up to the tribulation period. Look with me at Daniel 11 and verse 1, and then two thoughts as we close. And then we continue to read, also I, the angel who brought the message to Daniel, in the first year of Darius the Mede. Now we're going back 2 years. I've told you Darius is probably the title of the king of Persia. So most likely Cyrus, but we can leave that up for debate. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. So it's interesting, and I'm going to close with this thought. The angels worked together. So the angel had gone and Michael had been sent to free the angel that he could go to Daniel. And then you come to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 1. And this angel now says, now I'm going to go back 2 years to the first year and how I came to Michael's aid. Now let me close with this. Listen to me. There is a realm of the spiritual world that you and I know very little about. But for your outline, there is an unseen spiritual war that is waged in the invisible spirit world between the heavenly angels and the fallen angels. When you look at our world today, I believe that you're seeing a growing presence of evil. And you're beginning to watch the retreat of good. Because this is on God's timetable. God has prophesied through his men, through the ages, that the time of trouble and a season of trouble would come. And I would say to our young people, you're in that time now. We're at the beginning. I believe the church will be taken out of this world. You can believe something different if you want. But I do know that there's a season of wickedness that is going to be unleashed in this world that exceeds anything we can imagine. Let me close with two passages of Scripture. Ephesians 6 and verse 11 and 12. We're challenged as we look at Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And he tells that church, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't have time to go into the armor. My time is gone. But you know, the key to this is to have the word of God, not only in your hand, but have the word of God in your heart. Have the word of God as part of your daily meditation. There is a battle going on in the invisible world of the spirit that you and I don't know. But listen to me, and I believe this more as I grow older. And I'm saying this to mom and dad and grandparents. The devil and his demons want your children. Do you understand that? In some ways, I could look at me and say, an old fogey, right? I've lived most of my life. But our young people are coming up, and you can see in the world, this world is going after the youth like it never has before. In fact, there are states now in this nation, California being one, Washington being another, that you can't even counsel your children on godly principles because they're outlawing it. In Canada, you could be sent to prison as a father, as a mother, as a pastor for counseling your children regarding things that are righteous and true. And so there is the retreat of righteousness as there is the progression of evil. And you and I had better wake up. It is getting worse. And we're reminded, and I want you to read this with me, Ephesians 6 and 11 as we close. Read it with me, would you? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, that's written 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't changed. But as we get nearer the second coming of Christ, we have to understand the presence of evil is always going to grow. And the question is, are you and I ready? Not in our strength, but in the confidence in God's word and in seeking Him in prayer and seeking His strength. Are we ready to face the enemy until God takes us home? Now, I'm convinced over the years that there are a lot of believers that, and I've heard it 30, 40 years now of ministry. And they say, well, maybe the Lord is going to come today, or maybe the Lord is going to come tomorrow. Well, and I pray that He will come today, or He will come tomorrow. But I also know that I should occupy until He comes. And that means that I've got to be fitted for spiritual warfare. I've got to have a passion for the heart and the souls of my children and my grandchildren like I've never had before. If you're a father and a mother this morning, I beg you, bathe your children in prayer every morning and then pray for them when you go to bed at night. Because the devil wants the souls of your children. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Give me a moment and I will close. You may be here this morning. You may be listening online this morning. And you do not even know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know the lust of the flesh and the sins of this world. And you've realized it never brings joy and happiness. Could I invite you this morning to realize that you are a sinner. Condemned because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But I also want to tell you that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can, by a simple prayer, by a heart of believing, even without a prayer, and just say, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sins, as the Bible reveals, and I believe that I can be saved simply by trusting Him, not by my works, but by what He has done for me. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior this morning, I ask you, I beg you, will you not right now say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Christ died for my sins, and I ask you today, be my Savior. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then finally, moms and dads, husbands, wives, grandparents, we need to wake up because there's a spiritual warfare. And if we lose our children. And some of you this morning are here and your hearts are burning for your family. I encourage you, pray. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray during the course of the day. I know what it is to constantly have coming to my heart and my thoughts, pray and my kids will walk in righteousness. And you need to pray the same. But you know, we need to set a standard, God's standard, and live a holy life. Could I invite you this morning to right now say, Lord, open my heart, open my eyes. Lord, help me see that which I cannot see with the physical eyes, that there is a battle and a warfare for our children, for our families, and even for our church. And Lord, I pray that you would open my eyes. Lord, give me discernment. And Lord, I commit that I'm going to be a man or a woman of your word. I'm going to be strong in my faith and confident in your promises. And Lord, may others see Christ in us, I pray.